share on something, and it relates to Amen. And I've always been interested in sport, and when I was in high school and college, I had no difficulty whatsoever as it related to phys ed class. Just one of those things. I was have been gifted. And one thing I despised was English class. Oh, I hated English class. And the only thing I remember from ninth grade English, and I've told this to some of you before, is I walked into class one day, on the blackboard was a saying that every American child should learn a second language, preferably English. And that was true for me. And so it's really been in the latter years, as my physical's gone down, my want for English has gone up. And so I've been doing a study over some time now and trying to learn the Greek, and I'm going to get into that a little bit. But in terms of English, as a young child, how would a young child come up to a parent and really want to express something of importance? And I was thinking, you know, the word really. Really, Mom, such and such, really. With the repetition of that word. And how that word really sometimes comes into our vocabulary. And I heard, I think, once about a teacher in a certain Christian school saying, really, you're all a bunch of idiots. But how would you address somebody if you really wanted to make a point? Or how would you want somebody to address you if you were trying to make a point? How would the Son of God try to relate to us something that's really important? That's what I'm going to try and share in this presentation. And it starts with the word amen, where it has its roots in the Hebrew. And it's a word that means firm, steady, and trustworthy. So I went back, used the computer program, did a search, blah, 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 and found that there's five usages. Now, in addition to that, I must thank Mr. Jeffrey San Rocco for this book from Zodiades in terms of the Greek. Great, great book. And there's five usages in the Old Testament. I want to try and go through these quickly just to give a little foundation, because I want to spend most of the time in the New Testament. Now, if you would turn to Deuteronomy 27, 15. Before I get to that, I wanted to share another. Now, the first one is the word amen is used in oaths and imprecations, being equivalent to a binding promise. Now, when you use this book, you have to use a dictionary also to find out what the guy's trying to say. Anybody here know what an imprecation is? Good. When I have Sunday school, I try and tell the kids, every Sunday morning, I want you to learn one thing. So I want, through this presentation, to you to learn one thing. It doesn't have to be imprecation, but anyway, an imprecation is an evil speech or a curse. It's basically the opposite of a blessing. So Nehemiah 8:13 says, this is an oath. Then I shook out the fold of my garment and said, So may God shake out each man from his house and from his property who does not perform this promise. Even thus may he be shaken out and emptied. And all the assembly said, Amen, and praise the Lord. And the people did according to this promise. So they took an oath, and they followed through with that promise. But when they heard the oath, they said, Amen. Deuteronomy 27:15, I ask you to mention, turn there. And you will see here, starting in verse 14, And the Levites shall speak with a loud voice and say to all the men of Israel, Cursed is the one who makes a carved or molded image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. That is an imprecation. That is a potential curse. And you'll see that it starts in verse 15 and goes all the way through 26. I'm not going to read these. Of different curses. And after each one, it says, Amen. So that's the first one, use of Amen. The second is a response of praise by the people when listening to a choir or listening to somebody. And this one, I think of Dan, who occasionally I'll hear an Amen from this corner when Bob is saying somebody or Clinton or someone of importance. Of what is being said, not the person. First Chronicles 16, if you could turn there. Before that, I'm going to read a couple of Psalms, 41:13. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. So that is a response of praise by the people. 72:19. And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Both of those instances, there's a repetition of the amen. And lastly, as an example, 89:52. Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen. Now, I had you turn to verse 1 Chronicles 16:36. But this actually starts in verse 7, just as a little background. So if you jump up there, it says, Then on that day, David first anointed that thanksgiving be sung to the Lord by Asaph and his brethren. So verse 8 starts the song. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call in his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. And the song goes through and concludes in verse 36 with, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. So that's a response of praise by the people in listening to a song done by the choir. Nehemiah 8:6. And Israel, Ezra, blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. That must have been a sight. Ezra reads a scripture. All of the people agree and say, Amen and Amen. And they all bow down, the whole group, in reverence. The third example in the Old Testament of Amen is rendered as truth in Isaiah 65:16, so that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth, or the God of Amen. I'm not going to talk about that one too much. And then also rendered as so be it. In Jeremiah 11:5, that I may establish the oath which I have sworn to your fathers to give them a land flowing with milk and honey as it is this day. And I answered and said, so be it. Amen. And lastly, in the Old Testament 5, used as an adverb at the end of a sentence, meaning truly, surely, or certainty. The next step is the Septuagint. Now, the Septuagint, God always seems to have things in order at the perfect time for his people. About 200 or 300 years before Jesus, there were a group of people, some say 70-ish, septa means seven, Septuagint. And what they did was to take the Hebrew and convert the Hebrew Old Testament into Greek, so that when, and again, this was done 200 or 300 years before Christ, so that the Septuagint was a scripture that could be used by the Greek Christians, so that when Christ came and the Greeks wanted to go back and do their study in the Old Testament, they didn't speak Hebrew, or those that didn't speak Hebrew would be able to study the Septuagint. So there are a couple of uses of amen in the Septuagint, like there were in the Old Testament. Again, there's an example of curses, the imprecation used by individuals in response to a command. And then more rarely in the Old Testament, it stands at the beginning of a sentence for the sake of emphasis, such as assuredly, verily, in truth. And one example would be in Joshua 7, verse 20. Achan answered, "It is true." He starts the verse, "It is true. Amen. I have sinned against the Lord, God of Israel, and this is what I have done." All of that said, we now come to New Testament. How is amen used in the Old Testament? Well, another thing I found out about using this book, I was reading and they talked about the transliteration. Now, I think everybody here knows translation, but what's transliteration? Well, transliteration means you take a letter of one language and you use that letter in another language. So in Hebrew, amen is A-M-E-N. In Greek, it is A-M-E-N. It's a transliteration. In Latin, it's A-M-E-N. In English, it is A-M-E-N. That is transliteration. And the word amen has been called the best known word in human speech. Okay, so that's what transliteration is. And so in the Hebrew, we have the word amen, and that moves right into the New Testament, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, via the Septuagint. Now, amen, most of the time, is translated as verily, and occasionally you might see it as truthfully. I'll get back to that. But verily is the one, or truly, 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 or verily, verily, is the double amen. Now, there are seven examples that I want to go through quickly here. It indicates affirmation in truth, or verily. In Matthew 5, if you can turn to Luke 9:27. While you do that, I will read Matthew 5:26. It says, "Assuredly," or "amen, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there until you have paid the last penny." Something that Jesus was speaking, but he uses the word amen to mean assuredly. It's a confirmation or a validation of something. As happens many times in the Greek, there's more than one word for an English word. So when we read amen, it can mean truly, but there's also another Greek word that means truly. So if you are reading, let's say, NIV, NASB, they might translate that in the same English word, but if you go back to the Greek, there are different words being used, which has a slightly different connotation to the meaning. And in Luke 9:27, it says, "But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God." But that example, or that use of truly, is not the word amen. It's another Greek word. I don't want to bore you with too much, but I'm just trying to get some general concepts here, because I want to end up with the sayings of Jesus. So that's the second New Testament usage. The third means consent, desire, and so be it, where it concludes a prayer. And this is very similar also to the Old Testament. I guess if I was to summarize amen and what it means, both in the Hebrew and the Greek, it would be verily, truly, and or so be it. Those are the two general meanings for amen. So in Matthew 6:13, it says, and this is Jesus speaking to the people, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And that word amen will be in all of your versions of the Bible. And it means, so be it. And there are some other examples here too. The fourth, again, these three examples always occur at the end of a sentence and expresses thanksgiving, one, affirmation or a validation of something being stated, as well as a prayer attached to that, and the third would be an affirmation and thanksgiving. The fifth example would be using amen as a noun referring to the Lord Jesus. In Revelation 3:14, it says, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things say the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." So there, Jesus has a title, Amen. There's actually a third word that means verily, and also can mean yes. And when, again, going back to the English usage, we have the synonyms, and then we also have antonyms, meaning the opposite thing. So amen would be so be it, and there are times when we would want to say, let it not be. Or another way that we could say that might be, God forbid. Well, there are two little prefixes that can be put before the word. One is me, M-E, and it means not. So if we use that, it would have the connotation of not let it be so. And then there's another one, O-U, which means not. Not let it be so. So what's the difference? There's a reason that the two words are there. But if you're just reading through without having the definitions, it just goes right by. Well, there's a subtle little difference, and I'll just summarize it this way by saying, me is the negative of will. I would will or wish something or doubt, and implies that one conceives or supposes something not to exist. It's sort of subjective in a way, and I'll give an example in just a minute. Whereas OU denies the fact and expresses that it doesn't and can't exist. It's objective. So you have a subjective use and an objective use. The one would be, let's say, an example, speaking in tongues is not relevant today and is not an expression to be sought by believers today. Well, that's sort of subjective. You're going to find a camp that says not using the ME, and you're going to have a camp that says, oh yeah, tongues are for today. So it's not a hard fact. It's sort of the subjective. Is tongues relevant today? Were tongues used? Is there an example of tongues? Surely. In the New Testament, at the time of the disciples, they were speaking in tongues. But is it relevant today? I'm not going to answer that. I have an opinion. Okay, so how is that different from the other use of not? Jesus does not have to die on the cross again. It is a one-time event. Never again does Jesus have to go on the cross. That is a certainty. So that not is different from the other not about the tongues. Is it or isn't it? I don't know. Today? Tomorrow? What group you're talking with? Jesus on a cross? Not have to happen again. So that's the difference in the knots, and you can relate that to the amen. The last one, in some versions and translations in the Bible, each of the four Gospels and the last word in the Bible ends with the word amen. If you have the King James, you will see that. I went back to the Greek, and it's not there. So there was a little bit of play in being able to use the word amen. All of that is background to how does Jesus use the word amen? Is it important? I think so. The Son of God left heaven to come to earth to relate different concepts and principles by which certain things can happen. So in the entire New Testament, only Jesus uses amen at the beginning of a sentence as a word of affirmation and emphasis. And in some cases, he uses the double amen. Amen, amen. Now, as I was doing my study, I found it a little interesting to me that amen, amen is only found in the book of John. It does not exist in any other book. But Jesus does say amen and then go on to say something without the double amen. That is always found, without exception, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So you have the single amen in the synoptic gospels and the double amen always found in John. So if somebody tells you a scripture and you hear a scripture that says amen, amen, and Jesus says something, you know it's in the book of John. That's one thing you learn if you didn't know that. So going back, before I got to that point, I said, to self, self. How do you break down what Jesus is saying in importance? Is it relevant? Everything that Jesus says is relevant and important. Is there something that's more important than another? Not really, I don't think. But I sort of found that he says, I tell you, and it's used that way different times in the scripture. Now, I have not had time to go through and do that search, so I don't know how many times he said that. But Jesus said, amen, I tell you, where he used the amen at the beginning of the sentence for emphasis, just as a single found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. 40 different concepts or principles that he was trying to teach, but because it's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll find it in 56 verses where he says that. And then if you do a search on amen, amen, or truly, truly, or verily, verily, we will find those always in the book of John, and that he said that 25 times. So the next thing I looked at was, okay, where did he say these and these sayings? And I broke it down into the 3 years. Jesus taught for 3 years. He followed the Hebrew law of being 30 years old before starting his ministry. That was, you had to be 30 years old to become a priest. So he started at 30. So we have the first year is the year of inauguration. And four times he uses the amen, amen. Once when he calls Nathanael, who is Bartholomew, Nathanael, Bartholomew, the same person, his first name, last name. There's an interesting study in just that disciple. Then in what's called the year of popularity, his second year, he used the amen, amen three times. And the year of opposition, or his last year, he used it, it's recorded as being 17 times, seven alone in the Last Supper. And then one time in a post-resurrection. Okay. What was, as he stated these, what were his themes? Well, I sort of put them into five categories. Salvation. And if you were to do these, you'd probably come up with something different, because I actually did this about seven times. I got different numbers each time. But I kept refining it. And I got to the point where I said, okay, seven times he talks about salvation. I'm not being dogmatic about this. Three times he talks about father-son relationships between the Father and the Son, Jesus, Father-Jesus relationships, and also Father-children, the relationship that we have with the Father, three times. Jesus is the Son, or Jesus is the way. I came up with five times of that concept. And to my surprise, I put this in a category of non-belief. Five times Jesus said, amen, amen, where he talked about people who didn't believe. And then I put five times under miscellaneous spiritual issues. Now, I sort of got faked out because as I was using my interlinear, I noticed that it said, I say to you, Jesus is saying, I say to you 13 times, and then it says, amen, I tell you 12 times. So now what's the difference between I say to you or I tell you? Well, following Yogi Berra's expression, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. I took it. And I went back to the Greek, and I found it's the same Greek word. It means to say. So it doesn't matter if it's mean to, I say to you or I tell you. So then I went back to Zodiades. Jeff, you're going to like this one. It's a Greek word, L-E-G-O. It's broken down into Roman numeral 1, Roman numeral 2, Roman numeral 3 for a definition or its use. Not too problem, bad of a problem there. Under Roman numeral 2, it has A, subparagraph 1, sub-subparagraph A, B, C, D, E. Subparagraph 2, sub-subparagraph A, B, C, D, E, F. Then we go to letter B. B, 1, 2, 3. 3 is where we find the amen, amen. Then we go 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. C, 1, 2, 3, 4. D, and then 3. That's 31 different definitions for the use of the word I say. No. That transcends my want of knowledge. So, what are the amen, amens of Jesus? Clinton, this could be a year study. You could take two of these each Sunday to get in some of the details. So I just want to read these really fast to give you an understanding of some of the topics that Jesus said was important enough that he wanted to throw that emphasis of putting amen, amen, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say to you. Again, amen, amen means we're in which book? John. John 1, 51. And Jesus said to him, amen, amen, I say to you, you shall see heaven having been opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So he calls himself the Son of Man in verse, 49, it's referenced as the Son of God. So we have the Son of God, the Son of Man. I summarize that. I'm going to read these and then tell you what category I put them in. I said that this was Jesus is the Son, Jesus is the way. The next one is in John 3:3. Again, all of these as I'm reading are from my interpretation or my translation of, no, that's not right. Let's say my interpretation of the translation in here. And the interlinear, for those of you who don't know, has the Greek, and then underneath the Greek is the corresponding word. And I found that my understanding is opened up a little bit more by doing that, because I've shared with you before some of the examples with the use of hell, love, and to know, that there are different Greek words for the same English word that's translated one time. So all of these that I'm reading, the flow may not be what you're accustomed to, but some of the principles might put a little twist on it. Okay? So John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, amen, amen, I tell you, except anyone is born from above, born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I put that one under salvation. John 3:5, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I tell you, except anyone is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Again, I put that one under salvation. 3:11, amen, amen, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I put that one under non-belief. Here, they've witnessed God in action. And that's what Jesus was talking about to Nathanael in 153. You're going to see things that no one's ever seen before. You're going to hear words that have never been spoken on earth before. Words that we hear all the time and we take for granted. Okay, 5:19. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Amen, amen. I say to you, the Son cannot do from himself anything except what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these also the Son likewise does." I put that in the category of the Father-Son relationship, 5:24. "Truly, truly, I say to you, the one hearing my word and believing the one having sent me has eternal life, and judgment does not come, but has passed over out of death into life." I put that under salvation. Now, the thing that's so hard for us to comprehend, these Jews have been doing the Hebrew rituals for 3,000 or several thousand years. And all of a sudden, Jesus is saying, the blood of animals doesn't do it anymore. This is radical. And he says, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. No one ever heard that before. What were the people in the masses who heard that? What are they thinking? What if we had never heard that before and Jesus were standing here and he said that? Okay. 5:25, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour comes and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and the ones hearing will live." I put that under salvation. Jesus 6:26, "Jesus answered them and said, Amen, amen, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were satisfied." I put that one under non-belief. 6:32, "Therefore Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, Moses has not given you the bread out of heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is the one coming down out of heaven and giving life to the world." I put that as Jesus is the Son. Jesus is the way. 6:47, "Amen, amen, I say to you, the one believing has life eternal." A short verse, very powerful. Salvation, I put that under. 6:53. "Therefore Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of him the blood, you have not life in yourself." I put that one under salvation. Jesus answered them in 8:34. "Amen, amen, I tell you that everyone doing sin is a slave of sin, but the slave does not remain in the house until the age. The Son remains until the age. If therefore the Son frees you, you will be really free." This one I went back and forth, and I sort of came to the conclusion the main concept of that one was sort of like unbelief and the slave of sin. So that's where I put it. 8:51, "Amen, amen, I tell you, if anyone keeps my word..." If anyone keeps my word, "by no means will he behold death until the age." I put that one under salvation. 8:58. Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I tell you, before Abraham became, I am." 10:1. "Amen, amen, I say to you, the one who does not enter through the door into the sheepfold, but going up by another way, that one is a thief and a robber. But the one entering through the door is the shepherd of the sheep." And it goes on in that particular concept about Jesus being the way. So I put that under Jesus is the Son, Jesus is the way. 10:7, "Therefore Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, that I am the door of the sheep." Again, I put that one under Jesus is the way. 10:24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless the grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it alone remains. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. The one loving his life will lose it, and the one hating his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. I think I originally put that one under salvation, but when I went back and I thought about it and did it again, I put it under miscellaneous. Not that big of a deal. The words are what's important, not what category it goes into. 13:16. Amen, amen, I tell you, a slave is not greater than his Lord, or the one sent, an ambassador, is greater than the one sending him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I put that one under miscellaneous. Seven more, real fast. 13:20. Amen, amen, I say to you, the one receiving whomever I may send receives me, and the one receiving me receives the one having sent me. I put that one under miscellaneous. 13:21. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and said, amen, amen, I tell you that one of you will betray me. I put that one under non-belief. 13:38. And Jesus said, will you lay down your life for me? Amen, amen, I say to you, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. I put that one under non-belief. 14:12. Amen, amen, I tell you, the one believing in me and the works which I do, that one will also do. And he who does greater things because I am going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, this will I do, that the Son may be glorified in the Father. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commands. I put that under the father-son, father-children relationship. 16:20. Amen, amen, I tell you, that you will weep and will lament, and the world will rejoice. You will be grieved. But your grief will become joy. I put that one under miscellaneous. Two more. 16:23. In that day, you will not question anything to me. Amen, amen, I tell you, whatever you ask the Father, he will give you in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive your joy filled. And I put that one under the father-son relationship. And the last one, 21:18. Again, this is the post-resurrection. Amen, amen, I tell you, when you were younger, you clothed yourselves and walked where you wanted to go. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will clothe you and carry you where you do not wish. And I put that under miscellaneous. Conclude by saying, I like Matthew 7, 28, and 29. Now, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astounded at his teaching. 29, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. So when he came, Jesus opened up a whole new avenue of concept and understanding of what it meant to be alive now with the Holy Spirit and alive forevermore in his presence. So those are the amens that I found in my study. I'll conclude. Father, we thank you for the truth that when you came and you walked upon this earth, you shared words and concepts that had never been spoken before. And ever since, we've been reading and studying and praying those words. And we thank you that they are words of encouragement, that your Holy Spirit would reveal them to us, and understanding more each time we read, until that day when we can speak face to face. Hallelujah, what a glorious day that will be. In Jesus' name, amen.